Just want to say a little bit about Encounter on Wednesday before we turn to the Word. Some of us think that last week was one of the most shameful weeks in the history of Westminster, when with 1 hour 50 minutes of debate, the decriminalisation of abortion at any stage for any reason was passed, with almost no notice given for any opposition to come together at all. And then at the end of the week on Thursday, the second reading of the bill on assisted dying in Westminster was also accepted and now passes to the House of Lords. If you are at any stage a vulnerable person in the UK, you're going to be more worried this week than you were last week. And so Encounter this Wednesday, we will still be absolutely going for it in worship and seeking the face of God. We will be unreservedly worshiping with our whole hearts, but we will also be giving more time to prayer this Wednesday. If ever the UK needed a revival, this is the time. This is the time. And so I'm urging you, maybe the normal kind of style of Encounter is not your thing. Then that's okay. Ignore the style and come and meet with God and join our hearts together in praying, God, come and heal our nations. Come and heal our nations. So it's 7:30 on Wednesday. We'd love you to come along and just unite together. The theme of witness is one that we've been looking at for a while. Now that idea from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that when you receive power, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, basically amongst your mates, Judea, people that you know reasonably well, Samaria, people you can't stand, and then once you've done all that, be a witness to those at the outer edges of the world. So in other words, you've got to be a witness wherever you are, folks. You don't go on mission to be a witness. You are a witness who is always on mission, no matter where. But you can't actually do it in and of yourself. That's why you have to wait for the Spirit to come. Because it's the Spirit that enables us to live that sort of life that points by word and life to the transforming power of Jesus. You're a witness to him, a signpost to him. Your life speaks about transformation, renewal, forgiveness, hope, justice, mercy to all people everywhere. And basically, if you're trying to do it out of your own strength, you're finished. But you don't do it in your own strength, because the power of God comes and inhabits both the community of believers and individual believers in such a way that they're able to do what they cannot possibly do by themselves. They can live a Christ life in a godless world in such a way that that world is transformed by God. And that word witness, we know, is about living and speaking and sharing something you believe to be true, something you've seen, something that's happened to you. And the second part of that word is the word in which we find the root for the word martyr. So it could be costly to be a witness. There could be some people who don't enjoy your witnessing. There could be places in the world where it's particularly difficult to be a Christian and witness for Jesus. But nonetheless, it is the call of everybody who names the name of Jesus to actually be a signpost to him and the coming kingdom and all that that looks like. That's an exciting task, isn't it? Isn't it? Some of us think it's more exciting than others. I can see some folk thinking, no, maybe not so much. What an exciting task. In Scotland, 5.5 million people, let's say, roughly, of which, what, 5% maybe, and that's, I'm optimistic, 5% have some sort of Christian faith. 95% of Scots still to be reached with the gospel. 95% of Scots, 5 million Scots still to come in contact with the living Lord who can transform their life in a second. Is that not exciting? Because that's your job and my job, your job in your street, in your family, in your workplace. Let's go after the 5 million. And then when we've done that, let's help out in England and Wales and Ireland, because they need our help as well to do it. But let's go after. Let's have a vision. Let's have some energy. Let's get some passion. Let's believe in the gospel. Let's do the things God has told us to do in the power of the Spirit, because time is short. Time is short. And your time is short. So let's get some activity of the Spirit going. I predict this. The days of spiritless religion are over. They're over. And a new season is coming where the people who have a heart and a passion for Jesus, first of all, will see things that they have never seen in a generation in Scotland. In a generation in Scotland. This is a day for people to step up and step in to what God is calling us to. If you don't want to get involved, you should just get out. Get the sidelines. Because this is the day for us to step up and do it together. What does that kind of look like? I want to do really quickly look at four passages, four principles, four P's of what witnessing can look like, and do it really quickly, going back to my Presbyterian roots and getting every point to start with the same letter. And we're going to run through it. So we're going to look at Jeremiah 29. Let's see if the passage comes up for us there. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray for the Lord, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. At the heart of witness is presence. Presence. The people were where God had placed them. It's not where they wanted to be. They wanted to be in Jerusalem. But God, judging their disobedience, finally scattered them through Babylonia. And here's this group of people. And God says to them, this is where I've placed you. Be a different community to all those round about you. Live with presence. Be knowable. Be seeable. Be touchable. Open your homes. Give hospitality. Reach out and get involved. Be the salt and light that I want you to be. Be a different community and pray and work so that the whole city prospers. Because when it prospers, you prosper. Isn't it a fact that most Christians spend most of their time with other Christians? And we restrict our presence in the world to as little as we can, because we're more comfortable with people kind of like us. But here, what the people are being told is, to be a witness, you have to be knowable to people. The God of the Incarnation, it says to Christian people, you've got to be touchable to people. The God who hugged lepers says to us, you've got to be out amongst people. You've got to have presence. You've got to have presence. What does it mean for the community of wider Perth, the fact that we're here? How does our presence impact the businesses kind of down the old high street, or the flats behind the library, or the folks who go to Morrison's or work there, or anybody else? How does the fact that there are a bunch of Christians here make any difference? How is our presence known? How is your presence in the workplace that God has placed you in make the workplace different? How does you carrying the Holy Spirit alter what's happening round about you? How are you able to love and demonstrate love in difficult areas because of your presence? Presence is absolutely central, and yet part of us as Christians is our desire to retreat into safety and security, and part of God's heart is to send into every area and every street and every place, no matter what. First part about witness is presence. There's no point being a signpost to people who already know where they're going. We become a signpost to those who don't know where they're going. And so we demonstrate kingdom love by being a presence where we are, where we're set. The biggest missional call, I would suggest, of Trinity and every other church is to ask this: what difference does it make to the people in a square mile of where we worship, whether we're here or not? What difference does it make? Second one, we're moving into Matthew. And I want to talk from Matthew 5, we've been reading from already, just a few verses. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Just stop there for the sake of time. I want to talk about posture. Posture. What is the posture of the witness? The posture is radically countercultural to the world. We are not like the world. We're not driven by the world. We don't have the same goals as the world. We are a different people. We make a mess of it and we struggle a lot, but we are different and we're called to live differently. We are a humble people. We are a forgiving people. We are ultimately a loving people. We have a different posture. Our posture is one that is on its knees before Jesus, not standing up and celebrating the world. We celebrate Christ, who has called us, and he has called us to be radically, radically different. We are different. That doesn't mean that we don't do some of the stuff the world does. That doesn't mean that we don't support terrible football teams or run and listen to rubbish songs or do whatever it is that we do. But it means our heart is turned towards different things. And we live that day after day after day. Lord, how many times do I need to forgive these people? 7? Some of us would be saying 7 is a pretty big ask. Once or twice, maybe, if you're lucky. I used to live in work in a shipyard in Fife. You wouldn't get a second chance in terms of forgiveness. What does Jesus say? 70 times 7. Ultimately, you live a life of forgiveness. Your posture is different. Your attitude is different. Your goals are different. You're just a different bunch of people. You have a different posture in the world. Not trying to push yourself forward, but simply trying to lift Christ up. It's a different mindset. Third one, please. We're going to kind of run into 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Let's just stop here. Here's the third one. People. We don't witness in isolation. We need one another. We need people to hold our arms up when the spiritual battle gets tough. We need people who are going to listen to us. We need people who are encouragers. Where are the great encouragers in the church? Sometimes I think in the Scottish church over generations, we've cultivated a new spiritual gifting called the gift of discouragement. And we're really, really good at it. When anybody's got vision or drive or energy, you'll find five people telling them it's not possible. It's gone. And we want to say it is possible because God's able to do whatever God wants to do. And it's not based upon us, it's based upon him and his glory. So all things are possible. So here's my thing, don't listen to a discouraging spirit, ever. God is able, run after the vision. Run after the vision, whatever it happens to be. But I kind of love Paul's description of the church in Corinth. If that letter was being getting read out at our kind of morning gathering in the house in Corinth, I think I'd be a wee bit kind of narked, I think, by Paul. Not many of you are wise. Oh, hold on a wee minute. I think I'm actually quite clever. Not many of you are influential. And then he makes this whole list that's probably, makes some head for antidepressants by the end of it, thinking, well, what's the point of us then? It is so easy to ridicule the church, isn't it? So easy. I need to seek forgiveness a lot on this because quite often I come away from the church and I just want to bash my head against a wall. Stuff thinking, how do you not get this? But the church is a miracle of God's grace. The church is a bunch of messed up people, saved by the love of Christ, gifted in the Holy Spirit, and called to an eternal vision that is transforming. The church is the bride of Christ. He loves it, and he is for it. And his heart's desire is to see it flourish and grow. And his biggest desire is for this bride of Christ to be a glowing witness to all that is on his heart. A witness to justice and to beauty and to worship and to desire and to passion. And to miracles, and to chains breaking, and to hopes rising, and to salvation coming, and to healing being released. And so God takes the things that the world wouldn't look twice at, and draws them all together when they've got absolutely nothing going for them, really. Not speaking directly to you, don't take this personally. Nothing really going for you. And comes. And beautifies and breathes on it. And suddenly it becomes something that the world cannot replicate, no matter what. It becomes something powerful and dynamic and beautiful. It becomes the instrument for the kingdom of God coming in the power of the Spirit. And there is nothing like it. There is nothing like a church full of the Spirit, knowing who it is, knowing its Savior, in a vision of mission. There's nothing in the world like it. And that's what you and I are called into when Jesus called us by name. So it's people. We all need people. So join a life group or meet with others or sign up for an alpha or a youth alpha or a child. Is there a children's alpha? No? I'm not sure if you get a children's alpha, but if you do, sign your kids up to a children's alpha. Get involved. Get connected. See what the church is doing. We need one another. And I say this challenging myself as an introvert who is much happier after a morning service, heading straight over to Costa's, not having to speak to anybody with a book or whatever, to say, actually, I find it's hard to say, actually, I need you. I need you and able to function the way God has called me to function. And you need one another in order to do that. And we belong together. The last one, really, really quickly, please. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and onwards. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. I'll just stop there, Callum. Power. We have power. Light that was called to shine out of darkness, that was then revealed in the light of Christ's face, is now at work in you. Do you get it? This kind of miracle? All these kind of weak, not very clever, not very intellectual people all have this light that was seen in darkness now revealed to them as a people. Therefore, all things are possible for you and I to do, because it's not our power. It's Christ's power, now at work in your heart and life. So when you think, should I pray for somebody who's sick? Oh, I didn't have the words, I don't know what to do, I've not been to any teaching class. How do you do this? What you say to yourself is, if this person is going to be healed, it's not by any words I say or how I do it, it's because of the Spirit that does it. Therefore, why would I not pray for healing for people? And when I'm speaking to somebody and I think, I wonder what to say to these people. How do I engage these people in conversation? I've got nothing really to say to them. And then I remember, I don't need to come up with anything to say to them. I just need to be open to the Spirit to start a conversation and ask a question and see what God is able to do, because suddenly doors open. And conversations start. And you begin to get in a pattern where you're no longer living looking at the things you cannot do. You're living in the things that God is able to do in you. And your mindset changes from a kind of timid, woe is me, I can't do anything type of person to, come on, God, you can do anything. Type of person. That's the witness that God is looking for. So what does that mean for all of us? A few quick starters, I guess. It means that God is calling you, whether you're, well, let's start with life groups. What does it mean for your life group to be a witness to the streets round about where you meet? What does that mean? What does that look like, to have a presence and to have a power and to be there in the midst as part of the people of God? What does that look like in a posture of love? How do you make a difference to people? What does it mean for you in your home to be a witness? What does that look like? How are people blessed because of it? What does it mean to us as a church? How do we become a blessing to people in Perth? How much hospitality, how much love, how much giving away, how much forgiving, how much reaching out, how much evangelism, how much prayer, what does it take to be a blessing? Because if we're not a blessing, there's no point in us being here. We're called to be a worshiping community whose worship and love moves beyond the building like a tsunami of love and grace and justice that rolls out of this building all the way down the street, spreading out into the streets either side, all the way into the high street and beyond, as people are transformed by the love of God and they think, you know what? These people, so different in their posture, these people are a blessing to me. The people of God, the people of blessing to others. And in that, we become a witness to the greater kingdom and the greater Lord who has called us. Will you just stand with me for a minute? For a hand back to Ian. Lord, we all fail. We all make mistakes. We don't love as we should love. We don't forgive as we should forgive. We hold on to stuff. We don't point to you when we could point to you. We don't want to be the sort of people that are on the fringes. We want to be popular, and so we say nothing. Oh God, forgive us in our weakness. But you have said, when power comes, when the Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses. And so we ask, God, will you send your power afresh upon us today? As we head back into workplaces, streets full of neighbors with so many issues, families around us that just need blessing, as you send us into the world to be blessing, God, will you send your Spirit upon us? And Lord, we pray for us as a community of faith placed here right in the center of a city. Might Perth be blessed. Might the weakest and most vulnerable and most hurting be blessed because we are here, God. Make us witnesses in the power of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen.